Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
John Dickinson, Daryl Guru Johnson with you inside Oracle Arena. The Warriors' 11-game winning streak is over as the Philadelphia 76ers beat the Dubs tonight 113-104. The final, it's John Dickinson, Daryl Guru Johnson with you. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. And Guru, the story of this game, in a game where Klay Thompson is out due to illness, Stephen Curry, 41 points, on 10 of 18 shooting from three-point range, the rest of the Warriors team 1 for 20 from three-point range. That, Joel Embiid being dominant and a whole lot of really good Philadelphia defense in the second half, completely flipped the game where the Warriors had a 7-point lead that probably should have been more at halftime. And the Sixers outscored the Dubs 42-26 in the third quarter. They flipped the game. They wind up winning it by nine.
Yeah, and I'm not going to make any excuses. I know the Warriors are not JD, but I think the fact that Klay Thompson all of a sudden came up with the illness and was not readily available, that threw the Warriors off. But then they went on the court and had a 12-point lead, and I thought, you know what? The Warriors are going to flex their muscle. This is Cousins' first game, you know, at home. And the Sixers packed their defense, and they were the better defensive team tonight. And Curry, as phenomenal as he is, JD, 41 points, 6 turnovers. I'm not nitpicking, but they were big turnovers at the juncture of the game, and at the time, it swung momentum. And I can't believe the Sixers got out of here with the win. And your boy, Embiid, Embiid, he was disruptive tonight, and he is the best big in the association.
You could make a case he was the best player on the floor tonight. You could also make a case Ben Simmons was the best player on the floor tonight. Stephen Curry certainly would be someone that would factor in on that as well with 41 points and 10 threes. But in the second half, it was a whole lot of Ben Simmons controlling the game. He wound up 10 of 13. A whole lot of Joel Embiid, who goes for 26 and 20. And DeMarcus Cousins was... he was the headline coming into this game. The subhead was Klay Thompson's going to be out, and we found that out right as Warriors Live went off the air, the pregame show, at about 7 o'clock, that Klay Thompson was going to be out due to illness.
But this team has 5 superstars.
They do, but I think the one thing you saw tonight, Guru, was the fact that you take one piece away, and I always say this, you take one piece away to where the Warriors' rotation gets a little out of whack, and it disproportionately affects the entire machine. And I think tonight, the lack of shooting for Klay Thompson, having that extra shooter on the floor, it really allowed the Sixers, who are a pretty good defensive team when they want to be, to put more pressure on Curry, put more pressure on Durant, and the Warriors just didn't have anybody else that could make him pay to make a shot. And then when you start to look at the center matchup with Embiid and Cousins, Embiid outplayed DeMarcus Cousins, who, if he's rusty in any one way, I think it's still the post moves.
He just doesn't look comfortable. The polish, no doubt. And I liken it to a boxer. You know, Embiid's endurance is there. And Cousins, he won't face an Embiid every night. But JD, there is still, we saw tonight, room for him to get his endurance, his wind. And when you get hit with body punches like I felt the war, how many times did we see Embiid get his own offensive rebound, JD? Those are crushing. Those just take, you know, your soul. And at times, I kept thinking the Warriors are going to pull this out, but they didn't. And again, Klay Thompson, an all-star, maybe I'm overreacting, but I will not use that as an excuse tonight with my own two eyes. Philly went and won this game.
They did. They deserved to win the game. You heard Steve Kerr say that in the network portion of the postgame show with Tim Roy and R.C. Davis here on 95.7 The Game. Steve Kerr saying that the team got what they deserved, that the Sixers outplayed the Warriors in the second half. And look, you got to have somebody. You got to have somebody knock down a couple of three-pointers other than Stephen Curry. I mean, you look at the 11 for 38, that's not a good night overall at 28.9%. But Curry, 10 for 18. Durant, 1 for 8. I mean, even if Durant hits 3 or 4, we're probably looking at a different ball game out of 8 as opposed to the 1
His
for 8.
His 25 seemed odd. I don't want to.
Well, it was he shot below 50%. Wow. He didn't get to the free throw line, and he was one for eight from three.
I believe some shot they made it difficult on Durant.
They did make it difficult, and I think they made it more difficult on Durant because of the fact that there wasn't the extra shooter out there in Klay Thompson to keep the defense honest, if you will. Klay creates a lot of space by virtue of being able knock down
no
shots.
Doubt.
And when
spacing is that's the game of basketball is spacing.
And look, Alphonso McKinney stepped in for Klay
Thompson,
he played well. 5 for 5 at 11 points.
This might be his best game this season.
Played 27 minutes. Well, guess what? That's not Klay Thompson. Didn't knock down 1 3. He ends up with 11 points. I mean, Klay Thompson, you're thinking, might end up with 18 to 21 points on 4 or 5 threes
now
mixed into that. So, McKinney played great, and he did, but he's not Klay Thompson.
Well, what about Iguodala? I've raved about what he's been doing the last 2 to 3 weeks. You have to know Klay's out. He only hoisted up 2 shots.
Yeah,
see,
and that
bothers.
See, that's one that you all. I know you always go to that
because you got to E40. Tell me when to go. You have to know tonight. I don't care if you go 0-for-10 or 0-for-9. They needed you to create, and he can do it. I've seen it, and you know maybe I should have went in the locker room and just asked him, "Hey Trey, what's up? 2 shots. They needed you."
He wasn't good tonight. He wasn't good tonight. It's not often you see him and Livingston both struggle. Okay. And by struggle, I'm not saying shot attempts or 0-for-2, Livingston 1-for-2, and Livingston only played 15 minutes, and Steve Kerr played 9 players tonight. But you just don't see Iguodala and Livingston a negative in the plus-minus very often. Negative 12 for Iguodala, negative 14 for Sean Livingston. You just don't see that. But I'll tell
McKinney,
you another thing.
The only one, McKinney and Draymond.
I'll tell you another thing you don't see. You also don't see Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry minus together on a lot of nights. So it's just a different game. And I think really the story of the game for me, Guru, and we can take your phone calls at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It is Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson inside Oracle Arena. Sixers win it 113-104 to stop the Warriors' 11-game winning streak. First loss for Golden State since 4 weeks ago tonight on January the 3rd. The Rockets with James Harden hitting the big three late in that ball game to beat the Warriors. Odd and inconsequential fact, Warriors have 4 home losses on Thursdays.
Ouch.
This year. The Bucks got them on a Thursday. Portland got them.
Toronto.
Right before the new year on a Thursday. Damian Lillard hit the big three. And then you have the Rockets who got them with James Harden hitting the big three. And then the game tonight as well. Those are the 4 that Toronto was actually a Wednesday back in the middle of November. But another high-level opponent. And you look at the high. Look, the Thursday thing is inconsequential. I mean, that's just something for fun to squawk about on the radio and mention. The bigger point is what you bring up when you say Toronto. Toronto's come into this building and beat the Warriors without Kawhi Leonard. Milwaukee came in and beat the Warriors in November in a game where Stephen Curry got hurt at the end and Draymond Green didn't play. And now you have Philadelphia come into this building and knock the Warriors off. And, yeah, the Warriors didn't have Klay Thompson, but they thump them in that third quarter. So 3 of the top teams, and Boston is still going to come in here in early March, the fourth team in that group at the top of the Eastern Conference. But the 3 teams, 3 of the 4 teams the Warriors possibly could play in the NBA Finals, when you start to look at that, have beaten the Warriors in this building.
Yeah, no doubt. It's strange, but again, Klay is Robin to Steph's Batman, and that was big tonight that he didn't play. And I thought the fact that he made the All-Star game, he was going to come out and just, you know, have a good game. that changed everything for me. But I think we need to keep it in perspective when we talk about four or five, however many All-Stars you want to talk about, JD. Offensively, how many do you really have? And it's, to me, three, two and a half if you want to include Clay. And Philly, they balled. They played D tonight.
All right, let's get to the fans, and we hear from the fans brought to you by Nation's Giant Hamburgers, the best since 1952. And we start with Eric. Eric is first up here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game with JD and Guru. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so first game tonight, the Warriors with my son. And the Warriors had they were double-teaming KD early. As it crossed the timeline, and it just took him out of his mid-range, which took him out of his three. And without Clay, like you said, I said the rotation was just off, and it's just it was bound to happen.
Yeah, and I'm looking, Eric, at the way the Warriors started the second quarter tonight, and they had Quinn Cook out there with Alphonso McKinney, Sean Livingston, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins. And
I wasn't a fan of that.
And it's if you're going to start McKinney for Clay, well, Clay's typically out there with that lineup. Because you started McKinney, it changed how you used Andre Iguodala. Well, Andre Iguodala is usually out there with that lineup. So you had McKinney out there, and you had Quinn Cook out there instead of Iguodala and Clay Thompson. So that's a significant difference, and I think it took the Warriors 3.5 minutes to score a basket.
Yeah. Quinn Cook had four looks and couldn't hit one.
At the top of that second quarter.
He's been rusty, too. He's been sitting, JD.
And it was such a struggle for the Warriors early in that second quarter that when the Sixers took control of the game in the third quarter, outscoring the Warriors 42-26, at the top of the fourth quarter, Steve Kerr switched it up. He had Stephen Curry on the floor at the beginning of the fourth quarter with Cousins and Draymond Green.
Yeah.
In an attempt to not let the game get away at that point because he feared, hey, we go 3 minutes without scoring a basket at the top of the fourth quarter. This game's going to be over right now. And the Warriors actually played some pretty good defense at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but they just couldn't get into an offensive flow. The Sixers had kind of choked the life out of the Warriors.
And when you saw the big guy for Philly, Embiid, come back in the game past midway in the fourth, that's when I was like, uh-oh. You know, like they held on to the lead. It grew, and the big fella was on the bench. And when I saw him check back in, I thought Cousins was done for the rest of the night. But he did come in his first game, I believe, that he finished.
Yeah, and he wound up with 25 minutes. He was still at 21 minutes in that middle of the fourth quarter. So you had a feeling that he was going to come back in at some point. I thought it was going to be right around the 3-4 minute mark. I think it wound up being the 4:33 mark when Cousins came in.
He got fouled like six times. They didn't call it. What's going on? Is that reputation? I didn't know. Seriously, I'm not one of those guys. He got fouled six or seven times, and it went to the – sometimes he went to the floor. It was ridiculous.
I think his timing is still off with his post moves, and I think when your timing is off, it throws everything off.
Not clumsy.
You look like the shot's going up at a different angle, and when players are defending you, I think it looks different to the official.
Right.
As well. So I think, maybe things that look like fouls either aren't necessarily fouls, or the way that the official sees it because of the way that you go up with it makes it look like it's not necessarily a foul.
Up. Yeah, I got you.
So I think his rusty, yes, just a little bit awkward, a little bit almost too anxious at times, too quick at times, but also maybe lacking explosion at times. I think that's one area where, going up and finishing, he lacks a little bit, and that's where you see a guy like Embiid that's younger, and he's got the quicks, he's got the burst to go up and hit that quick shot.
Embiid kicked DeMarcus in the calf. He was limping a little bit, and I know basketball's not a contact sport, JD, but since Cousins has come back, he's been on the ground many of times.
No, he has, and I think not the best game for Cousins,
but not
big picture.
His endurance is getting better.
Exactly, right. He gets 25 minutes. He finishes a game. Ideally, if you're the Warriors, you want him out there finishing a game with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and that wasn't the case tonight. So I think tonight it was, again, the rotation gets a little bit off, and you're almost asking DeMarcus Cousins to go toe-to-toe with Joel Embiid,
right.
in his sixth game back.
He can handle the rock out there. He's nimble. Like, he knows what he's trying to, like, rock you to death and go by you. Real quick, into the middle of the fourth, Warriors were making a little bit of a run. Steph got fouled. Here, I go with the – he got fouled on the three, and they didn't call it, J.D. To me, that was – I was like, Philly's winning this.
Yeah, and sometimes you get that call, and sometimes you don't get that call. Let's get to Brian. Brian leaving the game here on 95.7. The game checking in at 888-957-9570. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for getting me on. It was a rough one. I was center court, maybe 10 or 12 rows up, so I had a great bird's-eye view. And sort of here's my take. So first of all, I don't want to take anything away from Philly because they really played well defensively. Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons are big, big guards, and they're pretty suffocating. And I was struck by how well they played defense. And then the second thing is I was struck by how big Embiid is. He made DeMarcus Cousins look small. I mean, that guy is huge. So I think, you know, so I don't want to take anything away. And then Redick, you know, was shooting the lights out. However, I really liked your comments about the fouls. It was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. There was no stopping when they're banging inside. They were running over the Warriors. I think they're just bigger. They were running over them. There was several fouls on DeMarcus Cousins. There were several fouls on KD and that were just not called. And I didn't understand. And then they teed up Draymond. So it was a very frustrating night for the Dubs being sort of manhandled and not getting the calls. And I'm a little bit concerned because it reminded me of a playoff game where they let them play, and that is not to the Warriors' benefit because the Warriors are skill players that really aren't bangers. You know, maybe DeMarcus is different, but DeMarcus got outplayed by Embiid. And the thing about not having Clay, huge difference. The spacing was off. It was really, I kind of felt it even in the second quarter. When they got outscored, I think 10-0, I thought, you know what, I'm not sure this is going to go our way. But I do think the officiating played a role in the game tonight.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Brian. Look, as far as the officiating goes, I mean, there's a couple of calls here or there.
But they were bad
in every game. I don't like playing the official game. And you know what, if it's a playoff game and they're going to let them be physical, then, you know, that's the reason why there's a seven-game series. So maybe you lose one or two games and they go this way.
It's how the Cavs beat the Warriors in the finals.
And then you see other games where they call a ton of fouls and they try and control it. Different crews call it different ways. That's why you have the balance of a seven-game series. I just don't like looking at the officiating.
And it's not why Philly won to you.
Not at all. No, not at all. And look, like I said, I mean, I think if DeMarcus Cousins gets to a point where he's a little more explosive with his movements, he's a little bit more defined in the move that he's trying to make, I think the officials are going to be in a better position to make some of those calls. They're going to be more natural-looking fouls. I think he's still going up like he's trying to find himself.
I've been waiting for him. I know it. You know, it's a work in progress, but okay.
Six games in.
All right.
At this point, and I had said I think it's probably going to take at least 10, and it might take a little bit more than that.
This was his hardest test probably of the season.
This was definitely the most difficult test for DeMarcus Cousins going up against a guy like Joel Embiid, who is just massive. He's a beast. He's physical. And look, the Sixers were in a position, again, where I hate to keep coming back to the fact that, all right, Klay Thompson is out, but when you take a shooter away, it makes it easier for a team that has the length that the Sixers do, and Jimmy Butler and Simmons and others, when you have a team that has that length and you take that one shooter away, it makes it easier to hone in on the other guy.
Yeah,
so
did.
It was almost as if Curry was going to do whatever Curry was going to do, although they made it harder on Curry as the game went on. And actually, he made some incredibly difficult shots, I thought, in the first half. No, I'm never surprised that he makes those shots, but they were difficult shots. They were shots that A lot of them went in the first half, and not as many of them went in the second half. Now, you add it all up, he still goes for 41 points, but it seems like Philadelphia was comfortable to a certain extent letting Curry do that, trying to make life more difficult on Durant, and then putting the Warriors in a position where who's the third scorer going to be? If Embiid can hold his own
and
against Cousins,
tonight,
which he did, Embiid won that matchup against Cousins, then where were the Warriors going to get the scoring from? And you just look at the box score, Kevon Looney scored 14.
That's why.
Okay, again, 14 on all twos and a couple of free throws. McKinney, 11, all twos and one free throw, no threes. And that's the thing, if you're an opponent of the Warriors, you want those guys not making
and
threes.
While I was at halftime, there was a story. I don't know how true it is. The Warriors do have an open roster spot, but if Wesley Matthews is available, they said there was mutual interest, I could see him in a Warrior uniform, and he's got threes, and he can score, JD. He would be a perfect fit.
He would be a great fit. I mean, that almost seems like a – I mean, that almost seems, that almost seems just mythical.
Wow.
Like, how could he – like, and obviously he's going to be a candidate as somebody that goes from Dallas to the Knicks in that trade where Porzingis goes, and the Knicks don't care about winning right now. They're trying to tank, and they're maybe going to try and pry Durant out of Golden State and Kyrie out of Boston and a lot of other different things that the Knicks are going to try in addition to getting another top draft pick. The top 3, 4, 5 pick in this upcoming
draft. Did we find
out
real quick what was wrong with Clay? Was it just like flu-like?
Just illness, just sick, just not feeling. He was a shoot-around this morning, and there was nothing really made about it. And Steve Kerr was asked during the network portion that we played for you on the network portion of the post-game show before we got on the air, and he said it's just just sick, day-to-day kind of a thing.
So he'll be there Saturday.
He'll be there Saturday when the Lakers are back in this
building.
So
will LeBron.
And LeBron James is going to be here Saturday as the Lakers come into this building for the second of their two matchups in Oakland. Those two teams splitting the season series to this point with the Warriors winning down there, obviously on the MLK holiday, and the Lakers winning here. In blowout fashion, after LeBron James went out of that game Christmas night. And then LeBron hadn't played until tonight since Christmas.
Did they win tonight?
When he went out of that game, and they did beat the Clippers. It was
in OT.
Lakers-Clippers tonight at Staples with the Clippers floor down. So game for the Lakers.
Oh, don't ruin it. I guess we could say it.
At Staples Center, and they did beat the Clippers in overtime. They actually let a lead get away, and the game wound up tied, and the Lakers wound up winning it by 3 in OT. 123-120 was the final there. LeBron James, his first game back, 24 points, 14 boards, 9 assists.
Yeah, you think they missed him?
So he damn near had a triple-double. They wind up 27-25.
Warriors owe him. They owe that James Brown, the big payback. They owe the Lakers for what they did with LeBron here in this building on Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think the MLK game.
Yeah, that was.
That's not a get back. That's just
too many losses at home this year for this great Warriors.
That's a game that I call price of admission.
Okay.
You go down to LA against the Lakers when they don't have anybody and you blow them out. That's price of admission. That's just a box you got to check. You mentioned the home losses for the Warriors.
I don't like it.
We can take some more phone calls at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570 as we roll along here from the Crown Royal Club inside Oracle Arena. Sixers beat the Warriors 113-104. The Warriors' 11-game winning streak is over, and it's John Dickinson and Daryl the Guru Johnson with Warriors Wrap-Up, brought to you by Realtor.com. The home of home search. The Warriors with their 7th loss on the Oracle hardwood this season. I'm going to run them down, and I had a little bit of a list. We'll run through them backwards.
Right, gotcha.
Okay, you got tonight against Philadelphia. You got the Rockets.
Yep.
Was the second one 4 weeks ago tonight on January the 3rd. Portland won in this building the Thursday before that on December 27th. The Lakers won in this building on Christmas night, which we had just talked about. So that was 4. And then you had Milwaukee, you had Toronto as well come in here and get wins against the Warriors, 5-6. And now the other one is escaping me.
Yeah. Blowout.
The 7th one was Oklahoma City the night before Thanksgiving.
In a blowout fashion.
Against a shorthanded Warrior squad at that point in time. Very much shorthanded. That they were playing with just Durant and Clay among the four All-Stars at that point. There was no Curry, no Draymond. So each loss tells a story, but you look at the way that the Warriors have played on the road versus home, and they just, for whatever reason, they play more buttoned up.
You think, or are they playing lesser teams on the road? I mean,
Look at the game against Boston. Look, they go into Milwaukee and win. They play more buttoned up on the road. They play more businesslike on the road. They play more like they're putting on a show in this building.
That's the old adage, us against the world, you know, mentality when you're on the road. But when you're this damn great, there's no excuse.
They went into Denver and blew them out when they were the best team in the Western Conference, or the team with the best record in the Western Conference, the Nuggets were. So they've got a lot of quality road wins. You look at the home slate and, okay.
DeMarcus' first loss in his first home game.
Yeah, first loss. So the Warriors have been, look, they're exceptionally hot right now. Away from Oracle Arena.
You got to get Cousins up and running. That's my number one priority right now.
But you look at it overall, and it's 18-7 here, and it's 18-8 on the road.
Gotcha.
So you add it all up, and obviously, you know, you look at the road record, and that's just outstanding.
Right.
You look at the streak that they're on after being, what, 8-8. And now they, you know, win 10 consecutive games.
We're spoiled, JD.
So 888-957-9570. Let's get to Michael in Oakland. Michael, you're up next here on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, guys? Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, what's up, Michael?
Well, just leaving the game, I just want to call and make a quick and obvious observation. I think the biggest factor was Embiid. Just botting Cousins. I feel like it was a men against boys tonight in regards to that position. And I feel at the end of the day, that's what made the big difference in the game.
Yeah,
that's
I think.
Appreciate it. Just want to call and make my observation.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I think, again, without Klay Thompson, Curry goes for 41. They made Durant work for his 25 on 24 shots. Durant wasn't hitting threes. He also wasn't getting to the free throw line. So at that point, you're looking for who the third scorer is going to be. And it's natural to think, because now you have DeMarcus Cousins, well, DeMarcus Cousins is going to be that guy or is capable of being that guy. But
had
it's
his
a
toughest
case,
assignment.
He's still finding himself, and Joel Embiid is
tip-top
a beast.
Like a boxer. Yeah. The win for the Warriors is now Cousins has experienced this. He's went up against the beast. But at the end of the day, JD, I didn't come in thinking DeMarcus was going to go for 30 or 35 against Embiid. At the end of the day, he got the experience. He went 15 rounds with the Big Bear. But again, my thing is, Iguodala, you're so good. The timing of just two shots tonight, I felt like they needed more. That could have been the third score.
Yeah, and it wound up being, as we talked about, Kevon Looney gets 14, but it's all twos and a free throw. McKinney gets 11, it's all twos. And McKinney played great, but McKinney played great, and it was 11 points. And he was on the floor, and good things were happening.
Not Klay Thompson.
But it's, you know, Klay Thompson plays great tonight. It might be 25 points,
no
and
doubt.
He might hit, you know, 4, 5, 6 threes. Along the way, and those are the kinds of things that change a game and change a little bit of the margin for error. The 42 points Warriors gave up in the third quarter, that's the most they've allowed to any opponent in the third quarter this season. It's also the fourth time an opponent scored 40 in any quarter against the Warriors. That flipped the game. I think the Warriors probably should have had a bigger lead at halftime than they did, but they got a little sloppy.
I thought it was headed for a blowout.
And took some bad shots toward halftime, which allowed Philadelphia to inch it closer. It was, what, a 7-point game at halftime. It was 60-50.
Klay, one of the best two-way players in the game. We haven't talked about what he meant to this team defensively tonight. That's what led to that 42.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. More of your phone calls. We'll also hear from some of the players downstairs as well. It's John Dickinson. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson. Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson with you inside Oracle Arena following the Warriors 113-104 loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. It is Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. 9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program, and that's where Charlie checks in on the phone lines tonight. Charlie, you are on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, evening, fellas. How you guys doing? What's up, Guru?
All right.
Hey, man, what's up? A couple of quick observations about the game tonight. As you guys pointed out, it's surprising how when one of their starters like Clay is out tonight, how it just screws up their whole rotation and how they play the game. It just seems like this is not the first time this has happened, where you would think the other all-stars can compensate for when one of these starters are out. But it's just an interesting observation. What else? Ben Simmons, I haven't watched him play much because I'm obviously a Warriors fan, but that dude impressed me tonight. That guy can play. And it's all well and good when Quinn Cook can knock down threes in the 30-point blowout. But, like, tonight, especially when you're missing some offense and you could see Durant is struggling, players like Quinn Cook got to step up. And he had some open three-pointers, and he just clanked them. And so, it is what it is. The whole team didn't play well tonight, you know. But it is what it is. Anyway, those are my observation, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, Charlie. We appreciate the call. You mentioned Ben Simmons, 10 for 13, 26 points, 6 assists, 8 boards, controlled the game. He's clever, not a great outside shooter, but he's so clever. Didn't even attempt a three-pointer tonight, did Ben Simmons. Think about that in today's day and age in the NBA. But he just controlled the game. And, you know, you mentioned Quinn Cook, and look, tonight's a night where, you know, Quinn Cook can come in and he can play against Phoenix, and he can come in and he can do some things against some teams that maybe aren't the best defensively. But this goes to my point, and something that we've talked about a lot, Guru. The Warriors, if they're going to add anything, they need to add a wing player. They need to add a wing player with one roster spot available.
I'm with you.
Big man or wing, that's been the debate. And it sounds like, for the most part, the last month and a half, the Warriors have hedged more toward wanting another big man as insurance for DeMarcus Cousins, should there be an injury or you know, something along those lines where they need to limit Cousins, or Cousins becomes someone that they can't count on to play a ton of minutes. But to me, I just look at it, and tonight's the perfect example, where you take one wing away and you just, even with all the talent the Warriors have, Guru, you just look a man short. And I think that's where, if you're looking for any way to just put this team completely over the top, even though they may be over the top already, it's adding one more wing.
Yeah, and there's a guy that's about to get bought out in New York, Wesley Matthews. And if somehow Bob Myers can pull the trigger and facilitate that, you know, getting this guy here in Golden State, I mean, we'll probably hear more people around the league get upset, and more jealousy and more envy will set in, because he is exactly what they need. And you're right, JD. How often do we talk about this team? 5 All-Stars, 4 All-Stars, 6 future Hall of Famers, and tonight Clay's out in the but you know what? The Sixers remind, I'm going football, they reminded me of the Ravens tonight. They slowed down the receiver. They blitzed the quarterback. It was rough, so we got to give them some credit too. But it's not okay, because Durant had 25 points, but you're missing that third score that we talked about, and tonight they didn't have it.
Depth is great until that depth has to be a starter with regularity. You know, Alphonso McKinney, that – you know, nice game tonight.
He leaped, and you know, the hustle buckets he got.
But when you compare Alphonso McKinney's 5 for 5 and 11 points to what you would have got from Klay Thompson on most nights,
no doubt,
and you can't even do it. Alphonso McKinney starts, so that means somebody else has got to be in the rotation that maybe wouldn't regularly be in the rotation on a night like tonight. Well, that's Quinn Cook.
What happened to Jeremko tonight? I know where he's been, but that game could have used Jerebko to me.
But Jerebko doesn't solve your wing problem. Jerebko is a big.
He could have took those 4 shots that Quinn didn't make.
Well, who you got to take somebody else off the floor if you're going to put him on the floor, because that's not man for man. That's not man for man. If Jarebko's going to play, then that means maybe Looney's not going to play as much, or that means maybe Iguodala is not going to play as much.
And he was out there two shot attempts. You know how I feel about that.
It's also been a long week for yeah. Jonas Jarebko yeah. as well, who had been away from the team. And
but I'm sure he would have been ready had he been called upon.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, it's not apples. It's not apples to apples when you talk about that.
So what do you do with this loss? How do you digest this? Is it because Clay wasn't there tonight?
Well, I mean, look, every loss has a story, and I mean,
Cousins needs
to me. The story was, well, you didn't have Clay Thompson. That changed, and that changed the game. It made the Warriors easy to defend. The Warriors still came out and played very well early in the game. They had too many turnovers, I thought. Late second quarter, took some bad shots, allowed the Sixers to stay in the game. It was a 7-point game at halftime, as opposed to maybe a 12-14 point game at halftime. Maybe if it's a 12-14 point game at halftime, the Warriors can come out and jump them in the beginning of the third quarter a little bit, push it up to 18. All of a sudden, the game's over. But when it's 7, then you got to come out and you got to reestablish early in that third quarter. And the Warriors didn't do that. The Sixers came out and jumped them and put it on them 42-26. So, no, it all starts with Clay. It starts with the rotation, what Charlie brought up, which is another thing we talk about a lot, Guru. It's the fact that you take one guy away from this team, and it alters
every piece. But see, I thought DeMarcus solved that. And
DeMarcus isn't a two-guard.
So I get four more fouls for DeMarcus tonight. My question is, we talk about he's not polished on the block as of yet, but when is DeMarcus going to embed the opponent? Because the Warriors have, you know, he's played sporadically in minutes and he's been great, but they need him to be what Embiid was tonight. How long do you think before he can be in that tip-top shape to where, you know, against the elite, you got to throw it down to the big fella? And that's why I was like, oh, no big deal, Clay, tonight. They're just going to throw it down to DeMarcus. And as we saw,
well, tonight's not the right night.
You're right. But they went to him. You know, he tried to mix it up.
I love DeMarcus for that. You got to go to him to see what he's got.
Exactly. And then it was like, uh-oh, this dude's big.
Bigger. I'm just not sure that DeMarcus Cousins at this point is going to be able to do that to a guy like Embiid.
Okay.
That might not be something.
I got you.
That we can say for this season.
Yeah. Zubac and whoever's coming in here Saturday, Cousins can beast them and feast.
And JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler.
Gotcha, the skinny cats.
And whoever else they want to throw out there for the Lakers on Saturday night. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. We still do have some time to sneak in some more phone calls. We're also going to hear from Stephen Curry coming up as well, and we're going to hear from DeMarcus Cousins. The play of the game is coming up, too, so we got a lot to get to as we take you up until 11:30 here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson and Daryl the Guru Johnson with you. Boy, I mean, lost in the loss, Stephen Curry was just ridiculous tonight. 41 points, seventh game where he's had 40 or more on the year. And just the 10 threes, the guy hits 10 threes like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's breathtaking, and the level of difficulty of the shots. I always say it's like he has a computer. I feel like a computer is putting it all together to hoist up those shots. It's breathtaking.
Had a 4-point play tonight. His 13th career game of 10 or more threes. So we saw tonight was actually rare.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, although 13, I mean, that's...
He could easily have 50 had he hit on a few other shots.
Yeah, and look, and he hit some shots where you're thinking, oh boy. Like, usually when he gets on one of those streaks, the Warriors win. Because the building gets going, and the Warriors get on a big-time run, and they're able to put games away a lot of the time when Curry does that. I think the Sixers do deserve some credit for being able to withstand that, but I also think the Warriors...
Help
the Warriors allowed him to hang in the game.
You're right.
By virtue of some careless turnovers and I thought some bad shots.
Now, explain to me what went down tonight with Kevin Durant, because Curry only had 3 more shot attempts than Kevin Durant, but in my mind it felt like 20. That he was silent tonight. And when you talk about it's a make or miss league, I get that, but what talk to me about Durant's floor game tonight. It felt like Philly took him away. But damn, he had 25 points and 24 shot attempts.
Yeah, and I think Philly did take him away a little bit. I also think when Curry's going, sometimes it's It's hard to come back to Durant and maybe give him the regular looks that get
so
him going in his own
that.
But I think a lot of the credit has to go to Philadelphia. I mean, they were coming out on him. I think they slowed down the mid-range game, which we had a caller that pointed out that earlier. And then his three-point shot was off tonight. I mean, he was 1-for-8 from three. If he's 4-for-8 from three, we're talking about
overtime,
a tie game,
yeah.
And we're talking about him having 34 points, and we're talking about him being efficient at 34 points on 24 shots as opposed to 25 points on 24 shots. So I think it's an off night, in essence, for him, but it's a night where you take one away and the margin for error changes as far as how effortless he can have that quiet 25 or quiet 34 that we're so used to seeing. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Warriors wrap up. We're rolling along here from Oracle on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors wrap up continues on 95.7 The Game.
Brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. It's John Dickinson and Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're inside the Crown Royal Club wrapping things up for you on a Thursday night. The Warriors lose to the Philadelphia 76ers 113-104. The 11-game winning streak for the Warriors is stopped as Golden State loses for the first time since 4 weeks ago tonight as they drop that game on January 3rd to the Houston Rockets. The Warriors, though, finish up January, Guru, with an 11-2 record. That was it. They lost the first game of January. They lost the last game of January. In between, they win the 11 consecutive games, and that extends their streak of consecutive months with a record of 500 or better to 42. Think about that. 42 consecutive months the Warriors have been 500 or better. That goes back to March of 2013. So every month for damn near 6 years, the Warriors have had at least a 500 or better.
And that sounds like why that culminates with three rings in 4 years, soon to maybe be 4 and 5. Good Lord.
All right, play of the game brought to you by Putnam Cadillac Chevrolet Buick GMC in Burlingame, featuring the all-new XT4 crossover SUV. Visit PutnamGM.com.
It's time for the play of the game. Tune in tomorrow morning to Steinmetz and Guru at 10:30 for your chance to win $100. Now, here's the play of the game.
Cousins crossover dribble on Muscala, powers his way in, no good. Tipped out by Curry, saved by Durant, back to Cousins, hands off Curry, three ball up corner, good! It's good!
What great hustle!
Warrior chaos paying off. 106-101 Philadelphia, 2:35 to go.
And even at that point, it looked like the Warriors may have one more little run.
Yeah, oh, you never count them out.
But they would wind up coming up short. Know the play of the game tomorrow. Guru, you and Steiny from 10 to noon here on 95.7 The Game, 10:30. You guys will call for it. If you know the play of the game, you can be a winner on 95.7 The Game. All right, Galileo is up next here on the phone lines on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Galileo.
Yo, thanks for taking my call, you all.
You got it.
Okay, Alfonso McKinney, positive plus minus, as well as Draymond Green.
Correct.
Give them credit on a night where the Warriors lost. I think Joel Embiid ate Looney's lunch.
Okay, thanks, Galileo. Appreciate the phone call. Look, McKinney played well. McKinney's not Klay Thompson. Draymond Green played well, but he didn't score. Okay, 1-for-6, 0-for-4 from 3.
And giving up almost 200 pounds.
Looney held his own.
No doubt.
Offensively.
Okay.
But Embiid took it to him, too.
Yeah, he's supposed to.
Yeah, no
doubt.
That
was almost like trying to stop Shaq with...
You can't look at tonight and go, it's on Looney.
No, not at all.
So
I would.
I'm not doing that either. I'm not doing it.
I criticize quick. That had nothing to do with Looney.
No, and Looney, like I said, held his own.
Could you win zone maybe a little? I know. I'm just saying.
No, it's just the Warriors just don't.
I hear you.
You're not going to do that. Maybe in a seven-game series if it's game six.
But you get where I'm going. Because Draymond was doing everything he could, but it was just like, this dude's too big.
Let's hear from Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, phenomenal tonight. 41 points, 14 for 27, 10 of 18 from 3. And here's Steph after the ball game.
18 over the rest of the game. Was it what they were doing, or did you guys just
kind of... I blanked out.
you guys had 12 assists in the first quarter, had a solid quarter. And the rest of the game, you had 18 over the final three quarters. Was it what they were doing, or did you guys just kind of stray a little bit from what you wanted to do? What happened there?
A little bit of it was getting loose with the ball in the second quarter. Myself in particular, unforced errors in terms of getting stops, not being decisive and throwing it to the other team, and a little bit of foul situation where the game slowed down a little bit. But and then shots didn't fall in the second half. So combination of everything, we played all right. They didn't get frazzled by any of our runs. And in the fourth quarter, or late in the third, they created a lot of momentum for themselves and sustained it over the course of the rest of the game. And it took a lot for us to try to get over the hump, and we just couldn't do it.
Hey, Steph, your looks aside, what do you think accounted for the team not making a lot of threes tonight?
I mean, I don't know. Everybody have decent looks for the most part, but obviously with Clay out, spacing is a little different, and we, on top of turnovers, you obviously got to be really kind of more choreographed on certain possessions when things kind of get away from us. And the pace was so fast, we never really were able to manufacture great looks for whatever reason. So got to look at the film, but it's a different look. First game Clay's missed, and so spacing, you got to – I don't think we were as prepared as a team, for the different looks that we were going to get tonight.
That's kind of what I was going to ask you, is that when you get a late scratch like that, especially from a guy like Clay who's always there, what's the process like to just move past that, and does it take a little while sometimes?
Obviously Zoe played well, especially in the first half. Got a couple extra possessions, finished around the rim, but when you're missing a guy that can create space, whether he's getting shots or not, you just have to be able to slow the game down a little bit and get the right calls, get the ball in the right hands, and get the right spacing. And we tried to play as we normally do. Over 48, you got to make a little bit of subtle adjustments without him out there. So that's a collective effort from everybody in terms of seeing the game a little bit differently, and we didn't make those adjustments.
Curious, DeMarcus got announced last night. Was that your idea? I know that's usually your spot.
Got a what?
Got announced last.
Oh, it's a big moment for him, for sure. So we had fun with it. It was just exciting. And obviously him being back five games, we almost kind of forgot that this was his first game playing in Oracle. So cool moment for him.
Yeah, it's Stephen Curry allowing that to happen, although, I mean, it's not surprising.
I hate to say what I'm about to say.
Well, then don't say it.
Greg Papa talked about, historically, Cousins hasn't played well in this building. Tonight would go under, where would you, you'd follow that?
It would go under, didn't play well in this building.
Wow! We get Saturday, hurry up and come. I'm just pointing it out. You're right.
You put it that way. Yeah, I mean, yes. Tonight,
he'll tell you that.
Tonight's game for DeMarcus Cousins would be filed under, didn't really play that well.
Gotcha.
But guess what? There's another game on
Saturday.
Another game on Saturday. Let's hear from DeMarcus Cousins. Mention his line: 3 for 10, 0 for 2 from three, 7 points. Did have 6 assists, but 5 of them were in the first 6 minutes of the game. To go with 6 rebounds. Let's hear what DeMarcus Cousins had to say about his outing following the Warriors' loss to Philadelphia.
Steve Kerr was pretty straightforward, saying you guys weren't there mentally tonight, just didn't bring the competition, and that's not feedback that you guys hear very often. Why do you think the approach just felt different tonight?
Honestly, I thought we came out the right way tonight. I don't really know what happened between, that first quarter and, going into that second, but, we kind of lost our energy and intensity and we never really found it after that, honestly. So, that's on us.
in that first quarter, you guys got off to such a good start. You were facilitating a lot. I think you had 5 assists in the first quarter. Is that something by design, you playing that role, or is that just feeling within the offense?
I'm just trying to make the right play. That's my whole objective every night, to go in and make the right play. So just finding a cutting man, you know, finding an open shooter, or, you know, making a play myself. Just out there trying to make the right play.
I remember after your first game, you talked about kind of not having a feel yet for some of your, like, isolation and post moves. Now that you're about 6 games in, where do you feel like you are in, like, your iso post-up type things?
Obviously, I'm still not where I want to be. So, you know, I'm working my tail off every day to, you know, get back to being that player, or, you know, better. So, you know, this process isn't over for me. You know, I'm still working to get back to, you know, being the player that I want to be. So, you know, just be patient with me. It's just feel. It's feel. You know, you wake up and you're so used to just doing something, you know, almost that feels naturally. And then, you know, you kind of get away from it for a year. And then, you know, you just kind of lose it. So, just finding it again. And, you know, like I said, I'm working my tail off. And just be patient.
And DeMarcus, given the kind of player that Joel Embiid is, how did you guys try to approach that overall?
Well, I wanted that matchup, so I think we did a great job defending him. But you know, he had a little extra help.
DeMarcus, you and Loon were talking there in the locker room in the corner. What were you guys talking about? Were you telling him? What was he telling you there back in the locker room?
Me and who?
And Loon? Kevin Von Looney?
Looks like I got to do with the game.
Wondering.
That has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, DeMarcus Cousins there. See, DeMarcus will go from 0 to 100 on you.
Yeah. I don't have any questions, but that was he got testy.
And he answered the questions about the game.
But he said it like that was a stop sign.
It was a stop
sign. What was that about? It was don't ask me about the wow
conversation with Kevon Looney.
Ooh. Wow. Did you hear the reporter like, want to get away? That was the Southwest
happens
moment.
You can ask the question. That's all right. Hear you. He did.
Want to get away?
I agreed with the first thing that Cousins said, which was that I thought the Warriors did come out and play the right way at the beginning of the game. I thought they were into it. I think sometimes we go back and it becomes a little bit of revisionist history. At the end of the night, they lose, and it was a bad third quarter, and you look at the different combinations of players that didn't play well. I think sometimes we go back and we think, well, they just weren't into it tonight from the jump. No, they were into it at the beginning.
And Cousins was marvelous with his passing, but Philly said, okay, hold on, we're going to back up, and let's see if the big fella can, you know, Fred Astaire us on the block, and that's when they kind of switched it up. So give credit to them defensively.
And Cousins, of his 25 minutes, his the best 5-6 minutes of the night.
Dude,
were the first 5
or
6.
I was like, oh, Philly's in trouble. He's passing too. Yeah, and then they switched it.
And I thought DeMarcus nailed it. He said they didn't really have it from that point once Philadelphia
they took it.
Got back into the game and then flipped the game on them in
Dude,
the
I
third.
I thought it was going to be a blowout.
And it was an uphill battle.
12-14, I said, oh, here we go. This is over.
So the Warriors' 11-game winning streak is history. Philadelphia wins it 113-104. Warriors still finish January 11-2. They win the 11 games in the middle. They lose the first game. They win 11. They lose the last game of January.
A lot of teams would give their right arm for that.
So nice and symmetrical. Yep. It all comes full circle for the Warriors, who now are 36-15, 51 games into the season. And Goo, LeBron James came back tonight. The Lakers won, and LeBron James will be back in this building on Saturday.
You
Warriors,
think,
Lakers,
Davis
part
will be a part
three.
Of that team? I honestly believe so. I'm going.
He may be a part of that team, but I'll tell you, if that trade comes down tomorrow, there ain't gonna be anybody playing for the Lakers in this building on Saturday. Cause it might be LeBron playing 1-on-5.
Luke Walton might have to suit up.
Yeah, it'd be Brian Shaw.
Look at that.
Brian Shaw will be suiting up. Kurt Rambis might have to shoot.
The Gauchos
might have to suit up. Yeah, Mark Madsen.
Look at that.
They got all kinds of guys that are going to have to suit up if that.
They owe
goes
the
down
Lakers. I feel sorry for LeBron. And this team just lost to Philly on, you know, Charles Knight. Dude, they just don't win on TNT. You pointed it out. That's 4 losses.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won a game in this building on a Thursday. So that's going to do it for us. I want to thank Tim Jordan for setting us up out here. I want to thank Alex Scott. I want to thank Alon back in the studio as well tonight. For Daryl the Guru Johnson, I'm John Dickinson. Goo, you'll be back tomorrow with Steiny, 10 a.m. until noon here on 95.7 The Game. And we'll be back with Warriors Live, Steiny and Guru, 4 o'clock. Warriors and the Lakers right here from Oracle Arena. The Warriors lose tonight 113-104 to the Philadelphia 76ers, and you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.